people. So I think that believers need to get up out of their comfort zone and just to make a stand for God. But I feel very strongly, and I know I'm this way right now myself, but is there any parents that are out there tonight or today and you're saying, you know, I'm just very concerned about my child. There's some things that I'm just heavy-hearted about my children. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to remind you of what God reminded me just sitting here a few moments ago. You know, Hannah had to give that kid back to God over and over. And I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest things you'll ever set your mind to do is to be a parent. But parenting is done the best when you give those kids to God and you give them to them. Because the devil would love to kill you and to steal from you and to destroy you by getting you worked up and worried about your children, because nobody loves your child more than the living God does. And so I'm just going to pray right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, and God, I believe that there are word people here this morning, so I will respectfully and honorably remind you of that word, God, that you said that where two or more are gathered together in your name, that there you would be right in the middle of them. So God, I believe that wholeheartedly that you are right here, right up in the middle of us. And so God, we are believing for our children. I'm going to ask you now to just begin to release them back to God. Release that worry that's went to well up inside of you. Release the anxiety over them. Release the stress over them. God hasn't called you to stress over them. He's called you to just stand firm and believe God will do exactly what he said he's going to do for your children. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now to take off this heaviness off of every heart that's heavy over this. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're replacing it right now with peace, not the peace that the world would give, but the peace that you give. I call down healing right now in this place. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, I call down that healing right now in the name of Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. God, I thank you that you're an on-time God. Lord, that you're never late. God, you won't tarry. Lord, you're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be, right on time. God, I ask that you give us endurance to wait until it's time. God, in the name of Jesus, every person in here that's troubled, every person that's saying, God, if you don't intervene, I don't know what I'm going to do. For that person, God's saying, if you'll just trust me and if you'll just give it over to them. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm not going to ask you to bless your word because, God, your word is already blessed. But what I'll do is I'll ask you to open up every single heart right now. I bind up every hindrance that would like to come over this service, every disturbance right now in the name of Jesus. God, I open it up and I tell you that you need to have your way, and I just back on over and I'm going to give it to you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you, now, is it okay if I just, let's just take a vote. Can we just keep it very real here today? If you're for that, let me see your hands. We need to keep this as real as we can because life is real. And I did not come here to fake church. How many of you came in here heavy-hearted? There's some things, and you're disturbed about them. There's some things in your life. There's some things in your family, and you're heavy-hearted over them. And you need to walk out of here feeling better about your life. Let me see your hands. Amen. Well, God's got a big job to do this morning then, and he's up to it. He's up to it. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you have brought in a Bible, Carson Paul, you're going to sit up, and you're going to get in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And act happy to do it. How many of you, you read your Bible every day this week that said that you would? praise God. I challenge you to do it again. Amen? Was God able to open up your standing a little bit better? Amen? Wherever you're willing to meet God, God will be willing to meet you right there in that place. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, get your Bible, Carson. You need to get it and get to getting ready to read.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm going to explain this to you as humbly as I can, and I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but the Word of God is just very blunt. And it's never about how much of the Bible you read. If you read 20 chapters a day and you understand nothing, it won't do you any good. When you open your Bible, this is something that I began to do many years ago. I asked God, Lord, as I get into your Word, I ask that you would allow that Word to get inside of me, because the Word of God is living and it's active. And because of that, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it has the ability to cut through every bit of everything that's going on in your life. See, the Word of God divides right from wrong. And when you put the Word inside of you and the trouble comes in your life, that Word that was planted inside of you goes to the trouble. It travels. It goes into the depression. It goes into the sadness. It goes into the infirmity. The Word of God, if it is planted, it will go to the parts of your life where it needs to go. But it can't go anywhere unless you've planted it. You can hang on every single word of God. Now, I have been in church all my life. I'm pretty sure I've got like adult ADHD, and I have a very short attention span, but I am very much in love with the Word of God. And the Word of God has my attention anytime that I open it up. Because I'm in love with the Word of God, I fashion my life to fall in love with the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that has never failed. It's never failed me. It's never misdirected me. It's never misguided me. It's never lied to me. It's never left me. Cling to it. Now, we are going to read, for all you people that you get bored easily, I'm going to challenge you to tune yourself in. When you want to start thinking about what's in the crock pot, you need to dismiss that thought. Because at this point, it's either going to burn or it's going to taste good. Amen? I mean, that's just the two options of it at this point. So, I want you to get into this so much to the point that you feel like you are living in this moment. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We're going to read most of this chapter, and we're going to get into it. And we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to digest it, and we're going to allow it to get inside of us and to change us. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites, Carson, you're not reading. I want you to get in that Bible and read it. I just got news for you. God has reminded me of the promises that I made him when I could not have children. And so I'm going to be on it like white on rice. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. So here's what I gather out of this verse. All of the ites, they was coming after Jehoshaphat, all of them, okay? That's the Arkansan modern-day version. All of the ites were after Jehoshaphat, and that's what was going on up in here in verse 1, okay? There's going to be times in your life where you feel like all of them ites are after you. The gossipites, the don't-like-you-ites, I'm going to get you ice. All of the ice, you're going to feel at some point like they're after you in your life, in your problem. I don't believe in standing up here and teaching you theology, because that's not going to really help you. I believe what's going to help you is if I will preach messages and challenge you to not cuss that person out in harps, to not get out there and punch Sally Sue because you don't like her, to not open your mouth when you should keep it closed. To me, that's what's going to help you most. Now, do y'all want to hear a bunch of theology? Because that's not where we're living up in here. We're living with very real problems. And the problems apparently are getting worse as the Bible predicts. And it says in verse 2, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea, and it is already in Hazazon, Tamar, and that is in Gedi. In verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He determined and he decided to get information from God. After he heard that all of the ites were coming to make war with him, he set it in his heart that he was going to go and inquire. He was going to go get information from the living God. Now, when you see problems and they are knocking at your door, when problems have come into your life, what you need to know is, how do I handle problems? What is my normal go-to? What are my response? What is the response that I usually do when problems come? Now, Jehoshaphat, can we kill that music, please? Jehoshaphat, he went straight to God. When he heard about all the trouble that was headed his way, he went straight to God for information. I challenge you, when you have trouble in your life, go straight to the only one that can really help you. Instead of muddying up your water, you know, you can ask people things, too many people, and get too many opinions and too much advice, and then not know which way to take. But I challenge you to line your life up with the Word of God. Don't tell me that this stuff is so old that you can't pull out information for modern day, because we're going to do that today. What I'm showing you is the Word of God. See, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds up out of the mouth of God. You're not living off of your five senses. You're living off of His Word. So therefore, if you're skinny and you're scrawny spiritually, it's because you are neglected to feed yourself the Word of God. So I'm challenging you to get up in it. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. For all of Judah. The people came together. Let's read that again. Verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They all came together. Have you noticed in society, even in sometimes your own heart, that your own heart can be divided? This country is very divided. Churches are divided. Leadership is divided. Nothing gets straightened out correctly until everybody decides to lay down everything and say, hey, we're going to get together, and together we're going to go to God. Amen. Together we're going to go to God. See, in your family, when you're having family issues, when stuff's going on, you need to grab your spouse, grab your children, and say, hey, together we're going to God with this. When something's going on in your church, you need to say, hey, we're going to go with God together, and we're going to go talk to God about it. But see, the devil loves to divide people. And he loves to get people at odds. You cannot fight a battle divided. You will not win. He resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. And indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard, and he said this, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Nobody. I want to talk to that believer right now, and you're telling God, my enemies are stronger than me. God, this sickness is too much for me. See, nobody and no thing can withstand the living God. And they knew that, and that's why they went to God. They went to God because they knew that was the only way they were going to be able to exist after all these ites came after them. So they went to him together. And the word says nobody can withstand God. Nobody. When you're having trouble with people that don't like you, when you're having trouble with people that you got to deal with, that you love, but the relationship has gotten off course, and now that relationship is hard. How many of you got some relationships like that? It's not that you don't love the people. It's that that relationship is strained and it's hard to deal. See, you got to go to God with some of these things that are eating you up, because if you're not careful, they will eat you up from the inside out and you'll be miserable, and all you'll ever be able to do is open your mouth and groan and complain. See, God has destined your life to be more than that. But he's got to get you out of this thinking that, oh, I'm fine with the mediocre life. I want you to get sick and tired of being fine with that and say, God, I want what your will is. God, I want what you got for me. Because, see, God don't have mediocrity for his children. I was telling Carson last night. I said, Carson, there's a difference between you and the other kids at school, and let me explain to you what that difference is. I got on my knees and began to beg God for you for almost a year. And I said, and I promised God that I would be faithful to do certain things when he gave you to me. And you can run from God. You can try to hide from God. But at the end of the day, there's going to be certain stuff that, because of the vow that is between your mama and the living God, you ain't going to be able to get away with, because, see, God has done set you apart and he's got a plan for your life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's got that for everybody. There are certain things, and you're looking at Sally Sue and you're saying, but God, Sally Sue's getting away with that. It don't matter what Sally Sue's going to do. It matters what God has already set aside for your life. You're not Sally Sue. You're you. And God has such a plan for you that there's going to be certain things you ain't getting away with, because, see, God will not allow it. He has raised up a standard in your life. And he said, no, child, you're not going to cross this. You're not going to cross it, because I'm not going to allow you to. See, there's things, and we got to see what we're coming up against. Don't come up against God. And then when you're coming up against a battle, you best have God with you. And you best not have division up in your life. See, the devil would love to get you divided in your heart. Don't allow it. Lord, help Brother Charles. And it says, no one can withstand you. Verse 7, O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They were asking God, Lord, I thought that you gave this to us. Let me tell you something. What God has ordained for your life, what God has given you, nobody can mess with that. So stop being insecure about thinking that every time something happens in your life that it's going to mess up the thing that God gave you. Ain't nothing messing up the thing that God gave you but you. Don't get up in God's way when it comes to your life, because he's picky over you. He loves you. And it says, they have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. And he was saying, Lord, are you going to let these people come in this land that you gave us? Lord, even if you did, we done built a sanctuary where we go and we worship you, and we're going to praise you no matter what. We're going to worship you no matter what. God, it don't matter if you do one more thing. God, I'm going to praise you because I love you. You got to get to that point where you say, no matter what happens, God, I still love you. I still believe in you. I still trust you. There's too many surface level believers, and every time something happens, you're throwing your hands up in the air and you're saying, well, I just don't know if God is real. Away with that. Away with it. You better know that he's real, because the word of God says that he who comes to him, you must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not just seeking, but diligently seek him. Now, I know this is explosive today, but let me tell you something. It's going to be what it's going to be. I want you to get so sick of the stuff that's going on in your life that, see, God said you didn't have to have it in your life. I want you to get so sick of that that you do something about it in the spirit realm. I want you to get so sick of it that you drop to your knees and you begin to call on the name of God, the only one that can help you. You get on that prayer bench and you say, God, I'm not leaving here till you do something. I'm not leaving till you bless me. I'm not leaving till you heal me. I'm not leaving. God, I'm not going to get offended at my pastor. See, let me tell you something. These seats right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is a family that the devil pulled up out of this church. You don't think I'm going to be salty over it? I'm going to be real salty. Y'all stretch your hands right over here. God, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this family. God, I do not believe that they should have left. So God, right now, I'm calling on your angels to go and convict those hearts right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask that you do whatever it takes. God, in the name of Jesus, whatever it takes, bring them back. I want you to get sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. Not offended. That was my first thing. Oh, I'm offended that they left. No, you need to get offended at the devil and what the devil was able to pull in your life. Not, well, I guess that's just how life's going to be, so I'm going to get over it and I'm going to roll with it. No, you need to quit rolling with the devil and his plans. You need to roll with Jesus, because he's going to take you to high places. Well, where were we? Praise the Lord. I'm just a blowing and a going. Am I in 11, Chicago? Thank you. 10. All right. So they were saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence. I'm going to ask you and challenge you that no matter what's going on in your life, to choose to stand in his presence. Choose to stand in his presence. It's a choice. It's a choice. It is a choice. See, in a world where we're all, it's my choice. It's all my choice. Let me tell you something, and I don't say this, and I know I'm just going to get hate email. You just keep them to yourself. And it's not y'all. It's the people on social media. But see, if people will not stand up and say, right is right and wrong is wrong, that God don't need pastors that aren't going to say it. Now, we are calling certain things right that are wrong. And because of that, God hadn't just killed us all. He's just lifted his hand of favor off of America. Now, I'm not preaching doom and gloom, but I am committed to preach reality. Oh, that Pastor Kelly, she's too much. Yep. Ask Frank. He'll tell you just how much I am. Verse 10. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. So they're recalling to God some of the decisions that God made when he gave them this property, when he gave them this land that they built new things on, that they built a new sanctuary. See, they're recalling to God what he did, and now they're saying, because you did that, because this is ours, now they're coming back and they're going to repay us. And here they are. And you know what? Here's the thing. God never lost track of that. God never lost track of it. God ain't lost track of what he promised you. God ain't lost track of what he gave you. God ain't lost track of what he told you he'd do in your life. Verse 12, one of the most important verses in this morning. This was their response to God. This is a response that they've had. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? How many of you have ever asked God, Lord, why are you letting people get away with doing this to me? That's a human response, and we see it in the Word of God over and over. I decided that I was going to read Psalms, and I read it out loud to Frank every night. And he said, well, David was a whiny bag, wasn't he? I said, well, he was just very vocal about everything, and he talked to God a lot. So, yeah, I guess it could seem whiny because, see, every other day David was having an issue. And guess what? Every other day you're having issues too. 1 minute you're up and 1 minute you're down. Isn't that how life is? Amen. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. They're saying, God, we don't have what it takes to do anything about our enemies. I'm going to ask you to keep it real. There are things that you are trying to do on your own, and God did not call you to do those things. God ain't called you to be alone and be doing this stuff out on your own all willy-nilly. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. You need to keep it real with yourself. Before you can keep it real with God, you have to be able to keep it real with yourself. Now, some people don't believe in that, and I'm going to explain to you what that actually means. How many of you have ever lied to God? Whether intentionally or unintentionally. Lord, I'm going to do better. God, if you'll get me out of this problem, I'll never do it again. And the next Tuesday, you were doing it again. Right? See, we've all done that. God, I will never do it again. If you will get me out of this trouble that this cost me, oh my God, I will never do it again. The next week, we're there, we're doing it again. That's called lying to God. And God knows you're full of it. Okay? It's just like when your kids tell you they didn't eat that cake and you know darn well they ate it because they're wearing it. Be real with yourself. Be able to say, you know, many years ago, my sister Casey, she was trying to conceive Bella. She was having lots of trouble. She took years to have Bella. And that's why when she finally had her, she named her Isabella Miracle Heiss. And every time I look at Bella, I remember that God still does miracles to this day. He's still working things out for people that the doctor said could never happen. See, God's still doing those things. He hasn't stopped. And one day, I remember right where I was at. I was on my way home from Clarksville, and I was talking to Casey, and we were passing the gym I was passing the gym on my way home, and she started crying. She said, Kelly, I have come to that place where if God never did another thing for me, I would still serve Him. If He never brings the baby, I'm going to still serve Him because God has been too good to me to turn my back on Him. See, you need to be so wrapped up in the living God and nothing else that on your worst day, you still serving Him whether He does another thing for you or not. Because let me tell you something, God ain't done blessing His kids. God is looking in ways to reach out and to uncover the things that only you have had stored up in your heart. He's looking at those things to say, you know what, I want to do that for them. But you can't be divided up in your heart of hearts, divided. Well, I don't know if God's real. Well, I'm mad at God. Well, I'm that. You need to brush all that nonsense off and just say, God, I'm with you. It don't matter how it looks because, God, I'm a mature enough Christian that I understand that there's just going to be times where it just does not look good. Believer, you need to understand that. There's simply going to be times where it just does not look good. And thank God we don't go off of what we see. Because, hey, what is faith? Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. If you're one of those people and you're looking at the mountain and you're depressed because it ain't moved, you need to quit looking at it. Take a little break. Stop looking at that thing. So they said, we don't have power to face this. We don't know what we're going to do. You need to be able to distinguish in your life your own abilities and God's abilities, where yours end and where His begins. God has the ability to do anything. But when you're still working off of your own strength, that strength is going to run out at some point. To finish that story, there was a service on a Wednesday night. See, the devil will get you so upset and so depressed waiting on the answered prayer that he'll make you start thinking that it's not going to happen. I remember Casey got up. She went and sat in the nursery in one of the rockers that we had bought for the mamas that they could rock their babies and see, sometimes I get it. I feel you. You come into church and you know it should be worship time, but your hands are so heavy because you're so down, because you're so overwhelmed, because you're weighted down by the problems of this life. She just had to go in the nursery and she just sat down. And I was sitting right here and I just went in there and I said, God, I don't know what to do with her. Because see, at that point in time, I don't even know if I was married. I laid my hands on her and I didn't even know what I was going to say. But I said, God, I don't know how you're going to fix this. Amen. But God, I know that you are. Amen. God, this is beyond us. Because if man could do this for us, we wouldn't be asking you for it. Amen. You need to know when something is beyond you. And stop killing yourself to make it happen. Because see, if it's beyond you, it's also out of your control. And you can't do nothing about it, but you have a God that can do something about it. Stop killing yourself. Somebody needs to listen. Stop pushing and stop killing yourself to do God's job. I'm kind of preaching that to myself. Praise God. Thank you for your wisdom. You know, I go back and I listen to my messages again because most of the time I don't even know what I said. Somebody be like, you know when you said da-da-da-da-da? No, I'm going to have to go watch that. I have no clue what I said under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. Praise God for intelligence. The second part of this verse, we do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Praise God. I'm going to read that one more time. I'm going to ask you to open up your heart. Ask you to open up your emotions. See yourself in this part of the story, okay? We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. God, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but Lord, I'm not taking my eyes off of you. That's what they said. Now, Is there a situation in your life today where you say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this. Amen. If that's you right here in this moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up. No, I'm not done preaching. But I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, when the waters are being troubled, they're being troubled whether you're done with your sermon or not. When the presence of God is here, it don't matter if we got the music on or nothing. Stand up because you got more problems than most people in the building. God, in Jesus' name, I believe that everybody in heaven is seeing the people that are standing here right now. God, you're taking a record right now in this moment. This moment is holy. This moment is set apart. Lord, for every person that's standing, they're saying, God, I don't know what to do, but Lord, I will not take my eyes off of you. God's asking you right here in this moment to stay committed to not taking your eyes off of him. He's going to make a move. When he makes the move, there's no denying that it was him. What is it going to take? You cannot take your eyes off of him. You cannot take your attention off of him. He's moving, no doubt. Stay vigilant and stay diligent. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak breakthrough and victory right now. God, I ask that you would lengthen our tolerance right now to be able to make it through. Lord, we may not know what to do, but God, you already know what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 16. Well, actually, I don't know what verse I'm on. Verse 13. All the men of Judah, with their wives and their children and little ones, they stood before the Lord. So after they said, we don't know what we're going to do, but God, we're going to keep our eyes on you. Then they also did something, and this is very important. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Every man in this building, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm not asking you what you identify as. I'm asking every man in this building to stand up. I don't deal with that up in here. You two boys, stand up. Let's go. Putting up with that either. Is that a boy in the back? Noah, you too. I don't want any males sitting down. Why? Because, see, God's up in this service. I believe in the order that God has set in his word. You men are the head of your household. If you ain't the head of it now, you will be. I'm going to ask every man, man up. Man up. Man up. This didn't say God got to women first and the women drug their husbands. No, it didn't say that. Let me go right back to the word so we don't get confused. All the men, not some of them, all of them. All the men of Judah with their wives and their children and their little ones stood there before God. I'm asking every man up in here, be what you're supposed to be. Man up. Lead your family. If you done raised your family, keep going. That don't mean you got an out. God's still using you. I know we may think this is funny right now, but let me tell you something. You're going to blink. How old are you? You're going to blink and you're going to be 20. You're going to blink again, you'll be 30. And you blink again, you're going to be 40, and you're going to be wondering why you can't see very good. Y'all can all sit down. So I've been wondering here lately. I can't read the Netflix description, and I'm getting concerned. I've been to 2 eye doctor appointments, and they said, what's your complaint? Well, I can't read what Netflix is saying. That's a real problem for me. I can still read the word. It's just up here. And they're like, and then here's what they said. And I really got offended. well, you know, Pastor Kelly, you're going to be 40. And stuff just starts happening when you're 40. And I used to think that was a bunch of junk. But I think there's something to that. I was just squinting and squinting. God help these 40-year-old eyes. That's all I got to say. Gracious. Okay, we're going to keep on going. If you're getting bored with this, you got about 25 more minutes of it if I'm seeing that clock correctly. It's blurry where it used to be. Let me tell you something. I preached my first message, official preaching my first message when I was 19. I've been preaching for 20 years. I used to could see that very clearly. Okay? It looks like you got about 25 minutes. I'm not sure. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Excuse me. Now, here's what I want you to recognize. Jehoshaphat was the king. God did not address the king. Who did he address? Just a normal person. Don't tell me you're not needed in the body of Christ. God's not telling the pastor everything. Thank God my pea brain couldn't hold it. I challenge you to make it to God's house. And when you don't, I really don't care to hear those silly excuses I get, because they're all nonsense. I said they're all nonsense, most of them. I mean, there's some of them. Let me tell you something. Brother Charlie has been on his way to the heart hospital having heart problems multiple times, at least 10 in 5 years. And he's called his pastor and said, I'm not going to make it. There's a reason people like him are still living. They don't make them like that very much anymore. What? Faithful people. So God spoke to Jehaziel. And in verse 15 he said, Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. God was saying, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. I'm telling you today, child of God, do not be discouraged and do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged and do not be afraid. For the battle is not yours, but God's. But God's. Now, do y'all see that apostrophe S there? Casey, doesn't the apostrophe S mean possession? The battle is not yours, but God's. And he takes possession of the battle. What does that mean for us? Take your hands off of it. I'm so exhausted, Pastor Kelly. I know you've been trying to do God's job and it's just wearing you out. How do I know that? Because I do it too. Amen. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, let me tell you something. God will always give you some instructions. God will give you instructions. It is very important that you do exactly what he says. Exactly. Down to the detail of what he says. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. Verse 17, you will not have to fight this battle. There are battles that God's going to have you fight, and you're going to have to fight them. But there's going to be battles that you go through, God's going to fight them. And you need to know which one of the battles that you up in. Take up your positions. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. See, some of this stuff, how many of you, when you go through a battle, there's just certain things you're saying, I don't want to face that. God did not. God said, now this battle, you're not going to have to fight in it, but you are going to have to face it. When God called you His own and when He saved you, He did not make you a wimpy little girl. He said, you're not going to have to fight in this battle, but you are going to have to face it. There's times where we dread facing what we know is the inevitable. I just challenge you to face that. Face it head on. Don't act like a whoop pup. Face that thing. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is a word for you today. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. What is God requiring of you? Faith. What is it going to cost, and what is it going to take to keep you upheld? Faith. Faith. Faith will prop you up and hold you up when nothing else can. Faith. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. What did that mean? Don't have faith and you've fallen. That's what it means. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets and you will be successful. Verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat. Now, this is very good. Jehoshaphat. Where am I at? 21. Thank you. Y'all should be able to say 21. We're supposed to be following along. What's the heck? All right. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out ahead of the army. How important is your praise? Very important. How important is your praise? Well, it was so important in this battle that Jehoshaphat appointed people to go ahead of them in praise and singing. When we are in praise and worship up in here, you should be praising and you should be worshiping. Not looking around, not seeing what this one's doing. Not wondering, what did they do this week? Because they're at the altar. What did they do? No, you should be praising and you should be worshiping because everybody's got a battle. And most of our battles we can't even talk about because they hurt us so much. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Who set the ambush? The living God. How did he do it? Because they were praising. They were honoring him. They did exactly what God told them to do. They went on the day that he said to go. The men were men. They got their family. They united. They prayed. The Lord set ambushes, not just one. Do y'all seeing multiple? Do you see that there's a S and ES, actually, multiple ambushes, and defeated them? Stop wondering and thinking what your enemy's next move is. It really doesn't matter. It really don't matter what they got planned next to do to you or say about you. Amen. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. All the bad guys were fighting each other because they were confused. They thought they were battling who they came there to get and get their land, but they weren't. They were battling each other. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies. So when they looked to see who else was left that wanted to get them, all they saw was dead bodies. Why? Because, see, the Lord had done set an ambush and took care of every last one of them. See, when God makes his move, you won't even have one person to oppose you. There's some of your battles that you say, man, I got a lot of things coming against me. God, look here. God knows. What's it going to take? Your faithfulness, your faith. They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Not one. Not one person escaped. Not one person that said in their heart, we're going and we're going to go get them and we're going to take their stuff. We're going to do all. See, not one of them. See, God will not leave one detail out. Somebody needs to hear that today. God will not leave even one thing, angel. He won't even leave one thing out. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. So here's what we see. The battle that was supposed to kill them and take their property, God actually turned it around, and he used the very battle that was used to destroy them, and he made it to benefit them. He made it to prosper them. The thing that you're fighting, oh, I don't want to face that. I don't want to go through it. You need to get on your battle clothes and your cool boots, and you need to say, if God is with me, who could be against me? God's about ready to kick some butt here, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I was about 4 years old, and Mom and Dad took me to a Dairy Queen or Dairy Lot or somewhere. And this is how I was when I was about 4 years old. They said, Kelly Mae, what do you want? And I looked at the menu, and I said, I want to kick the devil's butt. Look here. You knew them kind of kids are going to wake up and be pastors. Ask Brother Charlie. I've been kicking butts for a long time. So it was actually more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, so much stuff, so much valuable stuff from their enemies that it took actually 3 days to collect it all. The very thing that was supposed to destroy them, God done gave them all sorts of stuff. It took them 3 days of working to go collect all the good things that God had in store for them. Don't tell me you're scared of your own shadow and you're afraid to face stuff. You get up there and you face it. Because God's got a blessing in what your enemy thought was going to take you down. God's got a blessing for the very thing that the devil wanted to use against you. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, and they were praised the Lord. This is what it is. That's why it's called the Valley of Barakah to this day. What does that mean? The Valley of Praise. The Valley of Praise. That's what this means, the Valley of Praise. If you're in the valley today, let it be the Valley of Praise. If you're in the valley today, let it be the Valley of Praise. I'm going to say it again. If you are in the valley today, let it be the Valley of Praise. You got a decision on what the valley is going to look like for you. You need to decide that that valley, you're going to call it the Valley of Praise because you're going to praise your way up out of it. You're going to be faithful all the way through. It. Amen. I got some claps. I'll take them. Y'all need to get up into this message because it's for you. I was like, God, are we seriously going to stay in one place? That is boring as heck. He said, yeah, they need to learn how to read and get something out of just a few verses. I hope you are because it's almost over. Then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Verse 29, the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. God gave him rest on every single side. God wants to give you rest on every side, on every part of that battle. He wants to give you rest. I'm going to ask you for a few moments, examine your heart. We're getting ready to take communion. The Word of God says there's a very certain manner in which you need to take it. You need to get on your knees if you can. You need to make an altar where you're at. You need to begin to search your heart. If there's something in there, if there's confessed sin, you need to begin to ask God, Lord, forgive me. God, search my heart. Lord, prepare my heart for communion that we're going to take.